Hello everyone, I thought I'd have a bit of a ramble about a hangout I was on the other day that I'm very interested in talking about. It was an encounter with the alt-right, which I really didn't know very much about, and I'm kind of fascinated by it, in the same way I'm fascinated by the SJWs. So the hangout was on a channel called Millennial Woes, and the guy who runs it I personally like very much. I don't agree with his views, really, but he seems alright. He's not hateful. And so I'm interested in hearing what he has to say, especially as he's got a particular way of elucidating his points that's very pleasant to listen to. He's got a pleasant accent, he's got pleasant cadence when he talks, and so I'm interested in hearing what he has to say just because it's nice to hear it. And he's a self-professed racist. He thinks that the white race is superior. He thinks that races, people, individuals, are inclined to act as they are, as their genetics would determine, and not just in broad strokes like with men and women, which might be plausibly true, but in as far as I can tell, quite specific ways, as in blacks are more inherently prone to violence, or whites are smarter, or Asians are smarter still, and I know that statistically they are, but that doesn't necessarily mean genetically they are. That just means that, you know, this is the end result, and we shouldn't assume the cause if we don't actually know it. Now, this isn't me trying to be excessively liberal. I mean, one of the first things that people sort of had a go at me for in this chat was that I don't believe in race. And what do you mean I don't believe in race? I mean, are you suggesting that I'm looking at other people and I don't think that they are of different races to me? Because that's nonsense. Of course there are other races. It's just, the difference is I don't think people should be judged on the fact that they are a member of a different race. And that was universally something they did think that people should be judged on, which is obviously something where we severely disagree. I've left a link to the Hangout in the description. So it's about 6 hours long, and I'm in it for about 4 hours. So if you've got the time, I would recommend checking it out. I come in at about an hour and a half, and I'm in till almost the end. And I won't lie, I was more combative than possibly I needed to be, but it was 9 of them versus 1 of me, so it was hard not to, especially as a lot of them, and I'm going to make this comparison an awful lot, but they were very similar to social justice warriors in what they, not just what they believed, I mean their beliefs did have a lot of overlap, but also on the mentality that they had. I mean, there was a chap in there who looked like a fascist version of John Lennon, who was just convinced everything he was saying was gospel. And I mean, I was, and he seemed to quite like the sound of his own voice, as he'd go off on like unrelated sort of waffling rambles about, you know, what his belief system. And I was just like, okay, you know, I was trying to get a small point just so we could agree on something and move forward, and he didn't make it easy. And the reason I'm doing this video now is because I'll probably end up having a hangout with Millennial Woes, because, again, I'm interested in hearing what he has to say. I doubt I'll agree with him, but like I said, he doesn't strike me as being hateful, and I'm interested in exploring his ideas, because I don't agree with no platforming. I want to hear what other people are saying, because, and one of the guys in the house, oh, it was through your videos that I discovered this, and I was like, oh, that's good for you. As if that was supposed to be a black mark against me. And I was like, well, no. So at the end of the day, you would have discovered this anyway. This was what you were looking for. You would have found it, you know. So I'm not no platforming anything, because I don't think no platforming works. And I think the best way to deal with all of these bad ideas is to get them out in the open so we can talk about them. Bad ideas will show themselves to be bad. So I'll go through a few of the, like I said, it was a 6 hour hangout. And I'm gonna kind of imitate Millennial Woe style when he talks about, he does these thread dissections where he's been talking to someone for a long period of time, and then he goes through it. And one of the things I like about this guy is that he is thoughtful, but he's not too thoughtful. He's not, you know, he doesn't overthink things and reduce them to parts so component they're unusable. And he also is able to give the people he's talking about credit. He's able to be intellectually charitable to them. For example, if he's obviously a right-winger, and if he's talking to a liberal friend of his, he will tell you what the positive attributes of this liberal friend are before explaining what he believes to be the negative ones. And I think that's very admirable. I mean, a lot of these people struck me like social justice warriors. And one of the things that strikes me about social justice warriors is that they seem to be unable to accurately represent their opposition. Because if they do, then it undermines their own position. And a lot of these guys were very much the same way. But, okay, so to get into it, and I've got a drink here of a nice dessert wine that I'm going to enjoy while I do this. So, to get into this, there were a few things that struck me off the bat. And I spent maybe the first, I don't know, hour or so, like, asking them questions. It really didn't take me very long to figure out exactly what they believed, why they believed it, and where they were going wrong. And so I ended up trying to, like, explain to them why they were not really going to ever gain any traction. Or at least in my opinion, they're not. But, so, the fundamental belief that they hold, all of them hold, is not only that white people are better, but it's more that they think there is a white genocide going on. And they think it's based on the UN definition of genocide. I'm just going to get that up, actually. Because this is something that they were quite specific about. So the UN, the legal definition of genocide according to the UN is any of the following acts committed with intent to destroy in whole or part a national, ethnical, racial or religious group, such as killing members of the group, causing serious bodily or mental harm to members of the group, deliberately inflicting on the group conditions of life calculated to bring about its physical destruction in whole or in part, imposing measures intended to prevent births within the group, and forcibly transferring children of the group to another group. The definition goes on quite far, but I think that the reason that they call this a genocide is because they think that what's happening is that third world immigration to Western countries is, I don't want to say destroying white people, because I don't think they think they're killing them. Like, you know, it's not deaths that they think is happening. What they think is happening is population demographic changes. So white people choosing to have less children, and Muslim or whatever immigrants choosing to have more children, they think is the act of genocide, as I understand it. Now, I'm happy to be wrong if that's wrong, but that's how I understood it. They think that it's, I don't know whether they think it's planned or whether they think it's just incompetence of the politicians or whatnot, but they think that this is how a genocide occurs. As if, I mean, one of the examples they give is China's annexation of Tibet. Tibet's only got like 4 or 5 million people in it or something. So it would not be a great difficulty for China to take 10 million people and dump them in Tibet and just cause the extinction of Tibetan culture through demographic changes. So it's not something that can't happen. I just don't necessarily agree that it's happening in the West. I mean, in Britain, Muslims are only like 5% of the population or something. So, you know, I don't see that they've hedged out native Britons. And the argument being, you know, oh, there's competition for resources and all that sort of thing. And I mean, personally, it makes it sound like white people aren't very competitive, which I don't think is true. But, I mean, you know, there has been mass immigration to the West. So I don't just want to tell them that their opinions are illegitimate. I'm not surprised that there are people who hold this opinion. I don't think that it's necessarily going to cause a genocide of the white race, but, you know. So one of the major points I noticed about them is that they're very collectivist. Very collectivist. They think in terms of the white race, or, you know, and then after that, nationalism. They're very, very much, and it is identity politics. It's absolutely identity politics. They're just playing the opposite of the SJW game by taking on the hated role of the white oppressor. But in their minds, they are the ones being oppressed. And, I mean, you know, honestly, I think they've got more legitimacy to consider themselves oppressed than SJWs do. You know, no president is spouting off white nationalist rhetoric without, you know, checking the facts and figures. You know, they're not doing that anywhere. So they are a lot more oppressed than the social justice warriors are. I will give them that. You know, when Barack Obama's like, well, one in five white children is blah, 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 then fine, you know. No, I don't know what their actual stats are, but basically they are convinced that we live in some kind of anti-white capitalist patriarchy or something. Probably a matriarchy, sorry. But there were people who were against capitalism as well. I think they see it as being tied to liberalism, which they're obviously very against. I think they see liberalism as weak. These are the people who are not cuckservatives as well. If you don't know what a cuckservative is, I think it's a conservative who compromises the sort of true conservative principles in order to appeal to the sort of liberal swing voter. Again, I might be wrong on that definition, but I don't think I am. And so they think that the white race is doomed unless something's done. Which is very interesting. And I spent a lot of time in the conversation trying to like just answer why they think it's okay to judge people by their race. And like with the helicopter guy and the SJW, the Quaker collectivist who I spoke to, I get the feeling they think that it won't happen to them. You know, I really get that impression. It really struck me as they, I mean, it's okay for them to judge brown people based on their race. I mean, that's an eminently desirable. I mean, it wasn't even that it was necessary to, how could you not include the context of their racial background? Because in their mind, behavior is tied to your genes. Your race definitely determines whether you have a sort of propensity for certain behaviors. And I'm just trying to word this accurately. And so people coming from certain areas of the world should be judged on that, at least partially, and that metric should be included. You know, this person did commit a crime, but I mean, they're black, so they're more likely to commit crime, so I don't know, maybe it's a mitigating factor, I don't know. You know, do you blame a dog for barking, I guess? You know, is it the same thing? I don't know. I'm not the sort of person who thinks that we should take someone's race into account when we're making a judgment of them. I mean, one of the interesting things when I went into the chat, or I was in the chat of the Hangout, and I wasn't going to go into it. I was just listening, because it was interesting to hear what they had to say. And a bunch of people in the chat were like, well, you should go in there and talk. And it was the weirdest thing, because I think I triggered a lot of people. Just my presence, in the end, ended up just, they couldn't, like, oh my god. I mean, I'll read you a comment that someone, one of the most upvoted comments on the video, by a chap called 10 Gallon Hat. And tell me if you've heard anything like this before. Everyone needs to read Rules for Radicals by Saul Alinsky, or Rules for Radical Conservatives, if you don't want the left to make money off the sale. Sargon successfully used Alinsky's tactics against the Millennial Woes team by 1. Not answering questions, 2. Twisting words around and using them back like a dagger, and 3. Changing the meaning of words. I didn't do any of these things, but I'll explain them in a minute. Learn these radical left tactics and don't fall for Sargon's bullshit again. He set out to break up the party and establish control, and Sargon succeeded. Now, I didn't set out with any plan at all. My plan for the hangout, if you could call it a plan, was to inquire and interrogate their ideas. And it didn't take very long for me to find out what their ideas were. And then I decided to try and explain to them why their ideas were never going to gain any traction, why they were never going to get past the point of being sort of like an obscure, bitter internet movement. And I'm going to say that this is going to sound weird, but I don't think they appreciated the truth. And what the things I was saying to them, if they were paying me to advise them on how to make their movement bigger, I would have said exactly the same thing. I was telling them the raw, honest truth as I saw it, and they didn't like it. There was a lot of triggering going on, and there were many, many, many comments of people saying, right, don't ever invite him again. He's basically going to disrupt the echo chamber. He's going to introduce wrong thing. Don't do it again. I found that very amusing. The trick is now just to keep someone like that out, because they'll think differently and they'll make what we say sound wrong. I mean, I find these very interesting. Like, I used Alinsky's tactics against the Millennial Woes team by not answering questions. I answered every question that they gave. I mean, sometimes the answer was, I don't know, you know, or it's not my decision, or something like that. Because a lot of the time, I was just trying to show them, and I sort of played devil's advocate to a certain degree, but just trying to show them that people are going to say this about you. As soon as you guys take a step out of your echo chamber, this is what you're going to be faced with. So you're going to have to be prepared to deal with it. And there were a few people, it was a chat with 10 people, one of which myself, and a few people in there, including this Millennial Woes fellow. I think he understood what I was saying and doing. But most of them didn't. Most of them just got triggered and got very emotional about it. And I've seen them use phrases like, well, where's the safe space for white people? And that amuses me greatly, because it's not that they're against the idea of safe spaces, it's that they just want some for white people. You know, being, you know, quite radical right-wing collectivists who agree with safe spaces and agree that race is something that people should be legitimately be judged on, it's hard not to view them as the right-wing version of SJWs. Honestly, I wouldn't be surprised if many of these people went to GG Revolt, and I know that sounds like a dick thing to say, but I really wouldn't. The mindset is exactly the same. Now, I answered all the questions I could, as honestly as I could. I've no reason not to. Number two, twisting words around and using them back like a dagger. Well, the thing is, if you're using these words and they have more than one meaning, or they simply have a meaning that you are cherry-picking from, you have to understand that they can still be used against you. I mean, I accuse them of fear-mongering, and I suppose I should have been more generous, because, I mean, fear-mongering does have negative connotations. I probably should have been more charitable. But, I mean, I did clarify with them, look, what, basically, their mission plan is very much like social justice warriors as well. What they have to do is spread fear. And I'm not saying it's not legitimate fear, I wasn't making that judgment. That's for, you know, another discussion, another time. But the mission that they have, the only way that they're going to see any success, is by spreading fear to people. And it's exactly like radical feminism and social justice. Exactly. It's just a different kind of fear, you know. It's you're going to get raped, or it's someone's going to rape you. Or your daughter, you know. And so, yeah, that was very, very interesting. And they had this, it was very difficult to keep them on track and lead them down a logical path of interrogation to try and explain to them exactly why they weren't going to succeed. And I was on the defensive quite a lot before I started going on the offensive. And someone, I can't remember exactly, but they must have asked something like, why don't you think we're going to succeed? And I was like, well, you know, you need to do your own long march through the institutions, which is what they think the Marxists did, and they may well have done. And they were, oh, well, there's no time for that. So, okay, well, then I don't think any of you are really bright enough to effect the change that you want to see. And they took it as an insult, and I didn't mean it as an insult. I guess I can see why they took it as an insult. I really meant well-educated enough. But you know what it's like when you say things off the cuff. But none of them are really well-educated enough to enact any kind of change that they want to see. Not at all. And I'm not talking about millennial woes when I talk about any of this. I'm really talking about the guests that he had on there. Because he didn't really... He just kept people in line to make sure they didn't talk over each other excessively or interrupt when unnecessary and whatnot. And so, yeah, I'm not really talking about him because I didn't really get to explore his ideas. I was just dealing with these people. And it was very interesting because I was trying to be as specific and exact as possible. And I read the comments afterwards and like, oh, he's such a sophist. And it's like, really, I mean, that's weird because I'm not just saying things that sound like they might be true. I'm saying things that I think actually are true, or at least as true as we can be reasonably sure of assessing them within the context of that conversation anyway. So, I think they think they're being oppressed, and I think they are actually being oppressed, but not because they're white. They're being oppressed because, frankly, they're fascists. Or Nazis, however you want to describe it. This was the most interesting thing. They are in favour of judging people based on their race. They think that white people should be in charge, and they basically think, you know, non-whites are inferior. And it's hard not to... I was trying to explain to them, look, basically, right, these are your positions, this is your rhetoric, and when someone from outside of your echo chamber hears this rhetoric, they're going to think Nazi. Now, you've got two options to overcome this. You can either change your rhetoric so they don't think that you're Nazis, but that's very difficult to do because the reason they think you're a Nazi is because primarily you're saying, well, we should judge everyone based on their race. I mean, that's where the term feminazi comes from, you know. People should be judged based on their gender. It's not that people just don't like feminists or Nazis. It's what they're doing that gets them labelled this way. And so, I was trying to explain to them that either you're going to be called a Nazi, or you're going to have to change your rhetoric. So, one of the two you're going to have to deal with. And a couple of them in the chat will say, well, we are Nazis. You know, we accept that label. I was like, okay, well, there we go. You accept that you're Nazis. Are you surprised that people are going to call you Nazis? And their complaint was that the use of the term Nazi was a thought-terminating label, rather than the fact that they actually think that people should be judged based on their gender. I mean, then they weren't advocating any kind of genocide or anything like that, you know. They weren't really attached to sort of German fascism or German Nazism, however you want to term it. They weren't fascist. They didn't, as far as I could tell, they didn't want a planned economy, but we didn't get into that. They were just collectivists. They just had vague notions that the white race should be in charge. This is how things should be happening, and they haven't really formed anything further, anything really concrete. And I found it very interesting. Like I was listening to the sort of wrap up after that I'd left, because at one point the guy who went on for ages and ages started reading out war quotes and saying, does this sound like it might have been Hitler? And really, it was pretty standard sort of military rhetoric. And I think he was quoting from video games and ancient Romans and whatnot. But it wasn't that it necessarily sounded like Nazi propaganda. It was more that it was just standard war rhetoric, like the sort of thing that Pericles said in his funeral oration, or the sort of thing that Caesar probably said to the Senate, or Sulla said to the Senate. Pretty standard stuff. And it got really boring because it was really dull. And it was 4 in the morning, so I left. But I was sort of making a few notes after it so I could do this talk. And I was still listening to it. And a bunch of them, oh my God, it was mad. I'd put the fox amongst the chickens by just being there and asking them certain questions. And my God, right? They went nuts when they were dealing with just themselves again. They were desperately trying to figure out how, and I swear to God they said this, Sargon was trying to cuck us. And I was just, and they were desperately trying to figure out how I had cucked them. And they were calling themselves and each other cucks. I mean, they were like, they were in a complete tizzy. They absolutely were. And, I mean, one of them, they were discussing ideas how to prevent this from happening again. Because rather than, you know, maybe considering that maybe their ideological position had some fundamental flaws, they just thought, well, what we'll do is we'll buttress our ideological position. And I don't really blame them. That's what most people would do. I mean, I got dismissed as a sly leftist, and I got called a snake an awful lot. And it was funny because I'd come to the point where I was like, look, really, you're going to have to own being a Nazi. You're going to have to own it. You are being Nazis. Own it. You're going to have to. There's no getting around it. You can't advocate for judging people based on race, be right-wing, and not be called a Nazi. No one's going to buy it. No one's going to buy it, especially advocating for the supremacy of the white race. No one's going to call you anything but a Nazi. And they didn't like that, obviously. And that's why I'm a sly leftist, even though all I was really doing is taking down the obvious logical path. I mean, I was explaining to them, look, right, we were talking about Donald Trump, and I was like, look, they think Donald Trump's popular because most people are actually like them. Most people are actually racists, even though they can't say it in polite company, or in popular company, because of some evil leftist conspiracy some communist conspiracy to control language. And so, despite the fact that this would mean that, you know, something like 90% of the population were actually raging racists, they were being controlled completely by the communists, or the Marxist sort of language, I don't agree. I don't think most people are racist. I don't think that most people fundamentally think that individuals should be judged based on their race. I just don't believe it. And I think it's because I don't live in an echo chamber. They very clearly did live in their little echo chamber. Now, I was trying to explain to them, you can probably hear my son crying, he's woken up. I was trying to explain to them, look, like, I think most people are voting for Trump because they want an alternative to the status quo. They don't want political correctness, they don't want more of the same, or corporatism, they don't, you know, God forbid anyone wants Hillary fucking Clinton. They don't want all of this stuff, they want a change in the system, and that's why they're voting for Trump. But I don't think that most people who support Trump are racist. I mean, I'm not even sure Trump's a racist, you know, I just think he's a buffoon. And they agreed to that, and I said, look, they did agree to a point, and so I said, look, if Trump turned around and said today that he actually thinks that every individual should be judged based on a race, he would lose his support. You know, there are, you saying, okay, I want to ban Muslims from the US, well, you know, people could abandon being a Muslim, they could change that. You know, I want to build a wall against Mexican illegal immigrants, well, they're illegal immigrants, they could migrate illegally. You know, he's not just out and out judging people based on their race. But if he did start doing that, then I think he'd lose his support, because I don't think most people are actually racist. And they did initially agree to this proposition, and then when I tried to build on it and say, look, and based on that, this is blah blah blah, they very quickly said, well, no, actually we think most people actually are racist. You know, most people secretly, but they just can't say it in polite company. They just can't do that. And I was like, okay, well, I mean, I disagree, but this is why I'm a snaky leftist. But yeah, so it was very, very interesting in that regard. And I mean, I ended up trying to explain to them, you know, they were basically going to have to call themselves Nazis, or they were going to have to stop acting like Nazis, because there was nothing else that could be done. And I mean, in the wrap-up after the conversation, one of them mentioned that this was Ben Shapiro's tactic. He was like, look, if they call you something, just go, okay, and own it. And then it takes away the power from the label. And one of them said, yeah, but he's a Jew. As if his idea was bad because he was Jewish. And it was just like, do you see the problem with judging people based on their race yet? It's a good idea that you should use, but it came from a Jew, so you can't use it. I was just like, oh shit. Yeah, so that was, oh, it was hilarious. There were some very interesting bits in the chat as well. I mean, afterwards, and this was funny, Like there was some guy called Stockinghead in the chat who was just, and the total SJW-ness. Millennial Woes needs to answer for letting Sargon abuse his friends. It's like, what do you think that? Do you think that he should have to make a public apology? How much does he have to apologize? Do you think? Literally, it could have been an SJW saying that. It was just, it was mental. And I loved being called a sly leftist, even though I was just telling them what options they had, you know. And the thing is, I was trying to explain to them, like, what was going on. And so, after a while, I knew their position very, very clearly. And I was just trying to explain to them exactly why people weren't going to go for it. And they kept going on, and so I had to keep interrupting, just trying to keep them on course. And that's me being, like, a terrible, terrible person. And it was very interesting how they thought, I mean, like, when I asked them, like, why aren't people supporting you guys? Why aren't people part of the alt-right? Why are the conservatives cuck-servatives rather than, like, I don't know, neo-fascists or whatever, post-fascists? And the answers I got were because they're weak, because they get ostracized, and because they don't want to offend constituents. And all of those answers may as well have just been because they're not racists. That's the answer. You know, is it because they're weak and they don't want to get ostracized and they don't want to offend their constituents? If that's the case, I mean, maybe they should consider that they don't represent their constituents' views, because I'm sure if they're going to offend all their constituents and get ostracized, then that means their constituents either aren't racist or are going to pretend to be not racist so hard that they're actually going to reject the politicians who are acting in their interests as they would desire it, except for the, I don't know, the great Jewish Marxist conspiracy. There was an awful lot of saying, well, it's natural to do X. And, I mean, everyone is aware of the naturalistic fallacy, I'm sure. Just because it's natural doesn't mean it's right. But this informed many, many of their arguments. That they thought it was completely natural to be racist. Therefore, we should be racist. I mean, you know, by that logic, it's completely natural to fucking live in a mud hut. So, you know, what are we doing flying around in planes? That's not natural, is it? But yeah, it's a bad argument, and I didn't really press them on it too much because there were too many people, blah, 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 a lot of the time, but more because it's self-evidently wrong, and there's no need to really hammer it home, I didn't think. Yeah, so it was a very fascinating thing, and I'll be having a chat with Millennial Woes about it. And he's not like his friends in this chat. He agrees with a lot of their point of view, don't get me wrong, but it's not that he's not the sort of aggressive type who wants to wipe people out. I'm confident in saying that. I mean, I might be wrong, and if I have to rescind that, I'll rescind it. But from what I've seen of him, he doesn't seem that way. And if you've got the time, do watch the Hangout, because it's weird being somewhere where everyone hates me. It was like walking into, like, a chat with, like, Game of Gazi or something, you know, social justice warrior chat. It was very interesting. But, like, I mean, they're all convinced that Mr. Metzger, Internet Aristocrat, and Stefan Molyneux are alt-right. They're racist, they're, you know, all that sort of thing. I don't know if they're not, but, you know, it's very amusing. And I'm just going through the comments, but it's amazing how many of them think I was tricking them. I wasn't tricking them into anything. I was just explaining to them that if you believe this is the case, then this is what people can call you. And like, people are like, oh, well, they call us Nazis. Well, I'm not calling you Nazis. You're calling yourselves the Nazis. You know, you actually say we're Nazis at one point, and it's also what other people are going to say to you. And one of them was, I half wonder if Sargon wasn't just saying that to shield himself from the stigma of speaking with you guys. He seems to really try to distance himself from our group. I think as a consequence of him being a career YouTuber, he doesn't want to risk his audience. Now, that was not in any way what I was doing. And it's something that they actually a few people have suggested here, because I'm interested in ideas, but I don't necessarily have to agree with them. I would chat with as many SJWs as possible, but I don't agree with them either. So no, I'm interested in hearing what they have to say because I'm intellectually curious, but I'm not in any way in agreement. And I keep telling them why. This is the thing. They didn't seem to cotton on that this principle is the highest principle for me. You know, you don't judge individuals based on attributes they have no control over, because they didn't have any control over those attributes. They weren't made via decision. They weren't made via any kind of informed consent. They were made for the person. And so it's not a reflection of their character that they have these things. They didn't choose them. This was simply the case. And my grandfather on my father's side is black. He came from an island called St. Helena, and he's obviously the descendant of a slave. And he moved to Britain when he was young, started a farm, married a white woman in the 60s, I think, or 50s or 60s, something that I'd have to check. Kind of been easy, and you know, my dad suffered from his fair share of racism when he was young. He got into plenty of fights and whatnot. And I love that. Not this is the great thing. When I first went into the chat, this was something they already knew, because some of them had watched my videos while and seen me speak about this. And so this was something they already knew, and was therefore like, you know, they were like, oh, and I found that amazing. But then, like, you've got comments like this, which is like, like, you know, how much of his DNA results are actually black? Is he actually, does he actually have anyone black in his family? Because, I mean, I don't look black. But yeah, no, I my dad isn't white, you know. And it's very interesting, like, and I love this, listen to this. The tricky thing is that even if his grandfather was actually himself only a quarter black, he'd still refer to him as black. My grandfather wasn't a quarter black, he was fully black. So who the hell knows how much black DNA he actually has? If my grandfather was a quarter black, he'd look like me, and I wouldn't call him black. You know, my grandfather was really dark-skinned, but he was just very Anglo in culture. He loved cricket. But he'd be interested in seeing my DNA results. That's fascinating. Half Welsh, quarter English, quarter black. So who the hell knows how much black DNA he actually has? Could be minimal. So, I mean, I could pass for an Aryan, you know? yeah. It's absolutely fascinating. And the bit that I've been saving to the end, which I think is the most relevant, is that basically they know that they are lower on Maslow's hierarchy of needs. It's hierarchy of needs, isn't it? I'm just going to check that off. Yeah, it is hierarchy. It's been a long time since I've done A-level psychology. But basically, you can Google this yourself, which you should, but it starts with physiological. So breathing, food, water, sex, sleep, homeostasis, and excretion. All of the essentials to survive at the very sort of lowest psychological level of Maslow's hierarchy of needs. Then you've got safety. Security of body, employment, resources, morality, the family, health, property. Again, the very basis of having a life in society. Then love and belonging, friendship, family, sexual intimacy. And then above that, esteem. Self-esteem, confidence, achievement, respect for others, and respect by others. So this is when you've got everything else, you know, you don't need any of the things below you, you have them all in abundance. You start looking towards the sort of higher virtues, and higher, less necessary things, I guess. And then the top one is self-actualization. Morality, creativity, spontaneity, problem-solving, lack of prejudice, acceptance of facts. And this is the difference. Because I think I'm at the top of this hierarchy. I don't think my physiological well-being is in danger. I don't think my safety is in danger. I have friends, I have families, I have sexual intimacy, I have self-confidence, self-esteem, probably not the respect of others. But, you know, I am happy to say that I have all these things. So I see myself in the self-actualization top quadrant of the triangle. Ooh, Illuminati. Morality, creativity, spontaneity. These are often things that I do. Problem solving and lack of prejudice and acceptance of facts. This is a description of what I like to think of as the essentially the mission statement of my YouTube channel and everything I do here. So that's where I am. Now, they accept that they are much lower on the hierarchy of needs than that. That they are stuck on the second one up, safety. They think that security of body, employment, resources, morality, family, health and property are under direct assault from immigrants, from the left, from their various enemies. And I mean, they genuinely believe it. They're not, like, you know, in any doubt on this case. And it's very much the same as, like, Black Lives Matter. They think that they are in this position as well, which justifies all sorts of things. It justifies attacking kids studying in a library, you know, it justifies everything. Now, it's this it's this sort of opinion that enables everything that they're saying. And I think fundamentally this is where I'm always going to disagree with them. Until I see, you know, migrants actively trying to wipe people out or something like that, I don't think I'm ever going to be on board with what they're saying. And even if I was on board with what they're saying, I would still think it was wrong. And that was one of the things that went back and forth in the chat. And I know they think that I'm a snake, but I don't think they understand how inconsistent they were being. For example, I was trying to explain to them that the highest virtue to me is not judging people based on their race. And then I explained to them that, look, if I was in mortal peril and it became necessary to become collectivist and to become a racist, then I probably would, if necessary. If my life was in danger and there were hordes of brown people with weapons at the gates of Britain, I would obviously fight them off. I would have no choice. I wouldn't consider it to be a moral good, which is what they were doing until I said that, and then they were like, wow, there we go, you know. So, you know, this is where we are. And I said, well, the thing is, I'd spent like 2 hours prior to that establishing with them that it wasn't a moral wrong to judge people based on their race, and so they were like, no, it's okay to do this, it's just fine, this is what we should be doing. And then they recanted on it, going, well, of course it's bad, but, you know, we need to, this is the thing. And it was because of the way I'd effectively explained my own position that I guess changed theirs. But this is what I mean by they don't seem to really have figured out what they actually think. You know, they don't have an academic body of work, and I don't think they're ever going to. I was trying to explain to them, look, the only time I would do this, I would think it was wrong to do it. I wouldn't be telling myself that this was right. You know, because, I mean, what you guys are really arguing for is an end to the civilization that you think you're defending. You know, the civilization I would be defending would hold these virtues as the cardinal virtues. This is the pinnacle of Western civilization. And what's great about it? Individualism. And it's the abandonment of this that's to its detriment. And these guys seem to want to throw that away. They don't even think it's an issue. You know, I mean, I was watching a part of the hangout they were doing today, and one of the guys on there was going on about, you know, it's right that whites should rule. I'm thinking, what, you? You're not going to rule anything. You're going to rule shit. You're an idiot. You know, listen to yourself. You're not going to rule anything. You aren't ruling material. So don't go wee, wee, wee. You're not, you're not on board with any of this because it's never going to be you. You know? And so this is what I was trying to explain to them. So look, what you guys are arguing for is not going to be the preservation of Western civilization. It will be the end of Western civilization. What you're arguing for is the preservation of white people. And I don't think white people are about to disappear. So, you know, how could I ever possibly be on your side when I'm actually trying to defend Western civilization and the concepts that are born almost exclusively from it? And they are, and this is the thing, the, you know, like, collectivism and individualism. Collectivism is the natural state of humanity. It's natural to be a collectivist because, for most of human history, safety wasn't guaranteed. you know, but individualism only thrives when you have safety. You know, you need all the other things to be accounted for, and then you can worry about your individual rights against the government, you know, and against the people above you. So, you know, I don't for a second think that it's inevitable that people will be individualist, but I think it's something to strive for. And these people seem to be very happy to abandon that because of their fear of brown people. So it was very interesting. I'm going to have a chat with Melania Woese, because I might be wrong about a lot of what I've said. I may have mischaracterized it unintentionally, which obviously is unintentional. But I've tried to explain this as accurately as I can. I'm looking forward to doing the hangout or a Skype call with him to see what he really thinks, because he didn't get much time to talk. It was more the sort of someone in the comments of the video described them as little yappy dogs, and a lot of them were. They weren't people who are used to sort of public debate. I'm not saying I am, but they certainly weren't. And so I'm very interested to just have a calm conversation where nobody's on the defensive, and I can just ask Melania Woese what his opinions are. Because I think it'd be interesting, even if I don't end up agreeing with him, and I don't think I'm going to, ultimately. But again, I will find out. And is there anything else I wanted to say about this? One of the major issues, really, was that they were taking a lot of cues from the social justice warriors. They would say, but it's okay for them to be racist. And I was like, well, no, it's not, is it? You know, they are being racist, and that's one of the things I criticise them on. But that doesn't make it okay. That just means they're doing it. If you do it, then you're as bad as they are, morally speaking, anyway. I don't think you should do that. I was watching the chat today that a lot of them were very much against freedoms. They were not in favour of constitutional freedoms or personal freedoms, anything like that. They thought the time for that had passed, and I was just like, right, okay. Don't know what to say to that. I disagree. I don't agree with you, but you can have any opinions that you want. But anyway, I think that's about the end of the ramble. I'm sure that I will. I mean, the chat I'll have with Melania Woese will go up on my live stream channel, so it will be there, and thanks for watching.